This is the Stampede Blue Podcast, the official podcast of the Indianapolis Colts on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I'm Dave Walker, and today I'm joined by Chris Blyson. Chris, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, this is going to be a good time. And we're here to talk about a quick preview going into the second preseason game for the Colts. Obviously, this is coming on the backs of the first game against the Bills on the road, the 27-24 loss. And we're going to talk about that real briefly and look ahead towards the next game, which will be Saturday, August 20th, 1 p.m. Central in Lucas Oil Stadium, hosting the Detroit Lions. This is the quote-unquote dress rehearsal game, I think, that people look towards in the preseason. Now that we only have three preseason games, I really think that third preseason game is really the final audition for the guys at the back end of the roster. This is the game where you'll potentially see starters play a little bit longer than they did in the first game, although I still think we're going to see a lot of guys that will not touch the field in the same way they did in week one. But before we get into that, let's talk about this Bills game. And Chris, I have already given some of my thoughts in the prior podcast, but what were some of your takeaways from that first game against the Bills, both from a defensive side and what you saw from the offense sort of leading into our next conversation?
Well, one of the things that was noticeable immediately was you saw lots of passes to the running backs and into places where we didn't see any passes taking place in 2021. Right. So that was super encouraging offensively just to see those looks actually showing up, indicative of the difference between Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan. And that was refreshing because sometimes that was really frustrating last year. And one player's name that you saw a lot getting called was Nyheim Hines. And I don't anticipate he will get quite the workload because he was covering a lot of what Jonathan Taylor would be doing in the regular season. But I also do think that we can take that as an indication he's going to be a much bigger part of the offense this year, just kind of like we talked about the last time we talked.
Yeah, absolutely. Hines' name came up a lot, and I felt like he did okay as a runner. It's clear he's not going to be getting a ton of carries out of the backfield, but man, he is going to be a factor in the passing game. I think we saw that. I think that is, as you noted, I think Ryan is going to take advantage of that, and maybe even more so early on in the season as he gets used to the timing of the offense overall. What about the defense? I know obviously we didn't see a lot of Buckner only played five total snaps at the beginning of the game before he finally moved to the bench. Obviously, we all know what DeForest Buckner is capable of. There's no question marks there. But what about the defense? What did you see there that maybe gave you some hope or that you want to see a little bit more of?
Well, I actually got a little bit of both of those things. The one thing that seems clear is that the opportunistic side of this defense is not gone with Matty Eberflus. This is going to be a defense that takes the ball away. And I know it's the preseason and it doesn't matter. But this is a team that's going to take the ball away. And we watched it happen a lot in that game on both sides. Sloppy offensive play on both sides. I think the defenses for both teams had the better days. But honestly, that was one of the big takeaways and really encouraging to me is that the Colts are still going to be an opportunistic defense that takes the ball away. As far as a concern, one of them that I noticed immediately, and obviously, like you said, some of this is going to have to do with the fact your defensive linemen are not your top tier guys playing as much as they would in a normal game. But I thought you saw the absence of Darius Leonard at the linebacker group. Okereke whiffed on, and he's done this before, a big run that Zach Moss had early where he just gave up contain and there was a cutback and he left this cutback lane wide open. And some of those things where you see that, man, Darius Leonard has better instincts than someone like he does. And that could hurt if he's out for a significant amount of time. The linebacker core is not terrible, and the defensive linemen are probably going to cover over some of those holes, but that's definitely not something you can just hand wave as not a big deal.
Yeah, that's you don't go from having one of the best linebackers in the league to not having on the field, not feel that presence, not feel that missing player. So, and right now, the coaching staff has sort of reemphasized the plan. The goal is to have Leonard for game one of the regular season, which will be September 11th. So we're a little less than a month away from that. But to this point, we haven't seen him even on the practice field yet. Obviously, still recovering from the back injury. I'm with you there. Obviously, Leonard is one of the key pieces on this defense. I will say, on the positive side, I was a little bit surprised that Nick Cross got a lot of play with the ones. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised after the way he played. He did not look lost. He looked like a player that belonged on the field. And I think he may get the opportunity ahead of McLeod. McLeod may be more in that backup role as a veteran. So I was pleased to see that from, the third round safety we got this year in the draft. All
Absolutely. It feels like you read my notes. My very next notes say Nick Cross may just be a starter. so I feel like you snuck that one right off my page here. Yeah, absolutely agree.
I tell you, when you can find a potential starter, no matter what the position, maybe the exception of running back, where you do find, more depth in the later rounds. But when you can find the defensive starter at the back end of the third round, a player that Chris Ballard decided to move up, forfeit a future pick to go and grab this guy, and you could potentially slot him in day one as a starter. Oh, man, that is where roster management in the NFL, that's where the guys at the top of the game differentiate themselves from the guys who just live off those first round picks. So,
Well, think about what Chris Ballard's done there with those defensive backs if Nick Cross ends up being that starter. Because you got Julian Blackman, and I can't remember if he was a third or a second round pick. I believe he was a third rounder. You got Kenny Moore, who's an undrafted free agent picked up off waivers. You've got now possibly Nick Cross here, and you've got Isaiah Rogers,
Rogers,
who's at the he is feasting on these guys who just have been missed and really having pretty good success. So if you can get corners who can play and defensive backs who can play in the league as starters and get them late, man, you're playing with house money a little bit.
Yeah, you are. And that is, I mean, that's coming off the heels of having one of your safeties retire before the season even gets underway. And,
Who was
very
a fourth round? Who was a fourth rounder also
right,
that
exactly.
started?
So, you're sort of shorthanded coming in, and then to potentially find a guy to jump in there. And obviously, there's a lot of football left to be played. I don't want to hype him up for the Hall of Fame here just yet, but that obviously would be a huge coup for this team. All right, looking ahead, obviously, as I mentioned, this next game is going to be the quote unquote dress rehearsal. I do want to say I feel that is still overplayed, even with the reduced schedule for the preseason, with it being three games instead of four. I still think we're not going to see JT on the field. We know he is the heartbeat of this offense. Even though they brought in new weapons, they've got a new quarterback, this offense is still going to be, hinging off of his production. I doubt we see him on Saturday, and I think the amount of time the guys play will probably depend on how much success they have in the first quarter. But as we look ahead, Chris, just thinking about this game against the Colts, what do you want to see from the offense? Maybe differently from what you saw against the Bills? Do you want to see more from the wide receivers? Do you want to see more from running game? What are the things you're sort of going to key in on when they take on the Lions on Saturday?
Well, there are two things that popped out to me immediately. The one thing was you need to see a receiver or two make a significant impact. I feel like the thing is, we talked about this the last time. Frank Reich is an excellent offensive mind. He schemes guys open. He's going to do that in the season. But you would really like to see guys stand out on their own right and just win their individual battles at this level. That's what you need to see out of a receiver. Receivers who are winning in the preseason are just beating the guy across from them. That's usually not scheme related. It's usually not offensive play call related. It's a lot more about the guys. And I think you didn't see a whole lot of that in this game necessarily, or at least not as much as you'd like to have. So I want to see more of that in this next matchup, especially with having practiced against these guys a little bit, having a feel for the guys they're going up against with Detroit. Having those joint practices. And I want to see I want to see the tight ends in pass blocking a little bit, because one of the things I noticed is there were some tight ends
Interesting.
getting whooped in the specifically in pass blocking, because that's a big factor that Jack Doyle was a part of, helping out those specifically as soon as Braden Smith came out at right tackle. You started seeing tight ends that were helping getting beat. And not a lot, just a little bit. And it's one of those things that I've kind of been keeping an eye on with blocking from the tight ends being a factor. Jack Doyle was a great pass blocking tight end, and losing him is not something you're going to just shrug off and go unnoticed. So I'm going to be watching the tight ends both for the blocking in the passing game, and also just what they contribute in the passing game. Not that they didn't do that well, but I think they need to that you need to see Granson have another good game, and you need to see these rookies look like they belong, and see Mo Alie-Cox still look like he can be the guy to step into that tight end one role. That's a position Frank Reich uses a lot, and we need to see a lot out of those guys. And there's maybe too much being asked of them, but we need to see them kind of step forward.
I feel like we've heard a lot about the tight ends in training camp, particularly Andrew Ogletree, the sixth round pick, who has really sort of maybe jumped ahead, at least from a receiving standpoint. And I think you're bringing up a great point that we sort of get focused on their capacity as receivers, but really it's the learning curve for tight ends in the NFL is more as blockers and what they can do there. And look, both Jelani Woods and Andrew Ogletree are big boys, so they should be able to hold their own when in line. And that's gonna be an area where they're gonna have to develop. And to your point, I think obviously they're gonna lean on Mo Alie-Cox a lot in that capacity early on, because you just don't expect rookies to pick that up immediately or be good at it immediately, with very few exceptions. And it's easy to get caught up in the offensive productivity of the tight end, but they're tight ends for a reason.
Sure.
They've got to help out on the offensive line. That's a
Well,
great point.
and some of that stuff too has to be tempered by the fact that you just mentioned earlier. This is Jonathan Taylor's offense, and when he's not in the game, it changes how a defense plays you. So you can't be too hard on some of these guys at tight end when they're getting, Jonathan Taylor changes everything. It is really hard to gauge this offense without a playmaker of his caliber on the field, because he impacts what cornerbacks are doing. So how the receivers are covered is going to be different because Jonathan Taylor is in the game. How the linebackers play and how guys get out on the ends and put pressure on the tight ends, that changes if Jonathan Taylor's in the game. So it's really hard to totally hang all of the failings on them when the best player on the roster, oh well, arguably, I guess I don't know that it's all that arguable, but in my opinion, the best player on the roster is on the sideline. So you got to give them a little bit of a break. But yeah, I think that is the hard thing to quantify with some of these guys, is just how much things change when Jonathan Taylor steps onto the field.
Game changer. Have to have him on the field. Completely agree. All right, I'll get my thoughts on the offense, then we're going to talk about what we're looking for from the defense. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back on the Stampede Blue podcast. This is David Walker. I'm joined by Chris Blystone. We're talking about the upcoming game for the Colts, preseason game number two, Saturday, August 20th, 1 p.m. at Lucas Oil Stadium, as they take on the Lions. And Chris, you gave your thoughts on the offense, what you want to see from them in this next game. I'll just add, you mentioned the tight ends. I think that's a great point, and something that's going to have obviously an impact throughout the season, in hoping to see them develop. You mentioned the wide receivers. I think a lot of emphasis from fans, at least, was put on sort of the quiet afternoon they had last Saturday. I think obviously you said it perfectly. During the season, there's going to be a lot that Frank Reich is going to do to scheme these guys, but you still want to see them win some one-on-one matchups where they can get past a corner, where they can clear a block, where they can use those first couple steps to get a quick slant, something that shows that they can create on their own without having to constantly be schemed open. And you mentioned Jonathan Taylor, his presence on the field. I think that will have a massive impact in the passing game as well. So I don't want to, overemphasize the productivity of the wide receivers, because we're not seeing the true offense for the Colts. If you don't have JT on the field, it is not the true offense for the Colts. But I do want to see the wide receivers win, one or two more of those one-on-one matchups. I think Ryan is this is obviously being used to get him more comfortable in the offense. I want to see him potentially challenged down the field a couple times in this game. He was, as you mentioned, dumping off to Nyheim Hines a good bit in this past game, which is great We want to see him take advantage of those opportunities. I think we also want to see him be able to stretch the field a little bit. And
absolutely,
I want to see, you know, I want to see Alec Pierce get behind a corner. I want to see Pittman take a ball away from a corner. So we'll get to see a lot of that during the season. But I think some concerns from fans, I don't want to say they're unjustified, but I think it would go a long way for us to see that a little bit of productivity in this next game. And to be fair, the Bills had one of the best defenses in the league last year. The Lions did not. So there is hopefully a much better chance for us to see a little bit more from the offense, especially the passing game on Saturday. Any final thoughts on the offense going into this second game, where probably the last game where we will see starters on the field before we get to the first game against the Texans?
Well, and this is a hard one to quantify, because some of it can be starters not playing. Some of it can be Matt Ryan getting the ball out. But I was impressed with the protection. I thought pass protection wise, it looked good. And there were some times that the pass protection was a little suspect last year. And there were times where it wasn't even Carson Wentz's fault. And legitimately, he was under fire a lot. There were injuries. He held the ball too long many times, but there were many times he was getting hit way quicker than he should have. And I thought that relatively well, the offensive line played relatively well in pass protection, at least when the starters were out there. Mm-hmm. And that was a good thing to see, because the Colts offensive line kind of in 2021 rode off of the hype of being so good from 2020 and 2019, where they were one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. And I think over the course of 2021, people kept saying that, but it wasn't as true. they kept calling them this great offensive line. It's like, yeah, really? I mean, they're kind of middling at this point. They're just really struggling with guys being hurt. And so if guys stay healthy and everything, that was really good to see them look like the Colts offensive line. And to hold up well. And some of that, like I said, due to the pass, the dumping the ball off, getting the ball out quickly, all of that kind of stuff was part of it. Obviously, more vanilla defenses. You're not doing stunts and twists and all these things that mm-hmm. sometimes cause problems as often in the preseason. And you don't necessarily have your top starters on the defensive line out there. But that was really an encouraging thing to me offensively, to get back to seeing the ball get out. The other thing, and this wasn't as much Nyheim Hines as just seeing some of the personnel groups. I liked what we're seeing from I feel like personnel and the types of personnel that are on the field in the preseason are more indicative of what we should expect to see called mm-hmm. once the real game starts. It doesn't mean that we're necessarily seeing the personnel group, but if we know that, you know, we're running 13 or 12, 11, whatever it is, that if you're seeing that, that's likely going to be the same kind of blend, even if it's not the same exact players, once you get to real games. Seeing that, thought that was a good look. But I agree with you. I would like to see them stretch the field, and hopefully we see that. That would be the one thing to me that I still want to see out of this offense. But I was overall pleased with the protection, and I hope that holds up next week.
Definitely. And I think obviously an injured Quentin Nelson is still a good offensive lineman. But a fully healthy Quentin Nelson is a game changer on the interior. And
absolutely,
let's hope he's fully healthy. It sounds like he's feeling good. Haven't seen any reports out of camp where he's been limited at all. So obviously that's going to be a huge boon to the offensive line, especially with a quarterback like Matt Ryan. If you can, and I think we saw this as well, where there was a play where the protection broke down on the outside, but Ryan had a pocket to step into. He was able to maneuver it and able to get that pass off. And I think
I'm sure he was confused.
Right.
what is this thing in front of me?
what is this gap on the field? Yeah, it's and I tell you, with a quarterback like Ryan, he's not going to pick up a ton of yards with his legs. But I think we did see, if you give him that interior pocket, he can navigate it and he can buy himself enough time to do what he did on Saturday, which was to connect with the receiver. And if we keep seeing that, that actually bodes really well. So I'm with you. I'm encouraged by that initial performance from the offensive line. All right, shifting gears, defense. you brought it up earlier, and I had to laugh because, we sort of had this discussion within our own little Discord with the writers and stuff on, for Stampy Blue, and talking about, well, turnovers are neither repeatable. It's there's sort of two camps. It's like, oh, it's an opportunistic defense, and others of us saying, oh, you can't repeat that year over year. And what did the Colts do? They have four turnovers in five straight series. You can't script that any better. It was a fantastic sequence, and I actually, it was a lot of the first team and arguably some second team guys that were making those turnovers happen. So with that said, we know we're not going to see Darius Leonard out there. Let's hope he's ready for that first game against the Texans on September 11th. What did you see from the defense, or what are you looking to see? Let me rephrase that. What are you hoping to see from the defense as they face lines? Is it going to be the pass rush? Do you want to see more turnovers? Is it going to be who lines up in the secondary? What are some of the things you're sort of keying in on?
I really want to see production from the pass rush. That is, I mean, we see this
Yeah.
defense as opportunistic, and I'm hearing Troy's, well, I'm seeing Troy's messages scroll across from the Stampede Blue. He's our stats guy, and he is the guy who is going to say, like, the strong advocate for turnovers are not a repeatable thing, and
Right.
pass rush is. So let's say, and let's hope that he's wrong and that we do just keep turning the ball over. But also, if we could double down and not count on those turnovers and have consistent pass rush, then you're really getting a double dip there where you're getting the best of both. And if you do happen to have another year like last year where you do create a lot of turnovers, you're going to do even better. And if you can have these kinds of turnovers and also have Yannick Ngakoue bringing an additional pass rush effect there, and if you're able to get home with some of these guys and add that, then maybe you're a top five defense. I mean, I don't know that that's unreasonable to think that's a possibility if you suddenly do have a significant pass rush and maintain the same kind of level of turnovers. That's in the ballpark of what you can be. And I don't know what Matt Ryan's numbers are or what his record is like when he's had a top five defense. Maybe that's, I don't know if that's
It's never
something that's
happened.
happened, but I feel like, I mean, I feel like when we Colts fans remember watching a lot of Peyton Manning having bad defenses, when he had a good defense, he won a Super Bowl several times,
Yeah.
and not necessarily top of the line defense, but a good one and an excellent running game and receivers you can catch the ball, a coach that can scheme things up. That's a recipe for a championship team. Not saying that that's something that the Colts are destined for, but that's the kind of ceiling you have if you can accomplish those things. So really, really want to see that pass rush, especially in light of lots of turnovers. Now, maybe it's just one of those games where the offenses were really sloppy, and you're not going to have that all season long. Who knows? But give me that double dip, and I'll be a very happy person.
Not asking for too much.
Yeah,
For
just
reference,
a Super
obviously.
Bowl win, nothing too big. Just a
Yeah,
Super Bowl.
just the
That's all.
Lombardi. That's all we want. For reference, because I'm a stats guy, every year that Matt Ryan had a defense that was simply in the top 15, so top half of the league, every year that happened for the Falcons, and there were not many years where that happened, just to be clear. But every year where that happened, the Falcons went to the playoffs and they won at least one playoff game. So that gives you an idea, sort of a similar story I think you can see developing there. And honestly, that really tells the story in general. There are very few quarterbacks that can overcome really bad defenses on the other side of the ball. So I think it's more of a generalized story. But that said, I think the story here is good for the Colts, coming off of a top 10 defense last year, bolstering the pass rush. I do want to see, and I don't know if it's going to happen because I think we know who DeForest Buckner is. He's healthy. He is a game changer in the middle of the defensive line. Yannick Ngakoue is going to, I think he's going to be a huge factor this year. I think he's going to take the Colts from being, sort of bottom third in sacks to being in the top third. Kwity Paye is someone that I think has the opportunity to really develop. I'd like to see more from him potentially in this game if he can get out
Yes.
there. But really for me, it's I want to see this secondary. We are already getting a glimpse into what this can be like. And look, I think the story on Stephon Gilmore is, if you're worried about his age, don't. The man is playing lights out in training camp. If every writer writing about the Colts will tell you, bar none, Gilmore stands out the most of almost any player in camp, which is a great, great story. He's going to lock down one half of the field. But for me, it's, you know, does Nick Cross continue to look good in that second safety role next to Blackman? Will it be Faison or Isaiah Rogers that takes that other outside spot? Right now I'm leaning towards Rogers, but you know, he has that concussion. He probably won't play in this game. So it's, for me, it's the secondary. I want to see what they can do. Can they continue to generate turnovers? And honestly, if they can do their job, and I feel like there's a lot of reason to be optimistic there. I think Gilmore is going to help in the same way that Richard Sherman did, you know, way back in the days of the Legion of Boom, where you knew who Richard Sherman was, less so who cornerback two was, because, you know, Sherman did such a good job of taking care of his side of the field. I feel like we'll have that with Gilmore in this defense in a very similar scheme. The secondary, that those safeties, especially Nick Cross, man, if you solve that issue, because the safeties are so critical to what Gus Bradley is going to want to do in this defense. If you solve that issue with a third round rookie, you are someone give a life contract to Chris Ballard, at minimum, just to draft and find the secondary players for this defense until the day he dies. His as you mentioned, the number of guys he's found in late rounds or his undrafted guys. There are other GMs who would give their right arm to be able to find one player of quality, much less, you know, an entire secondary outside of the first or second round. So I'll be watching that secondary, really, really keying in on what they do. All right, Chris, any final thoughts before we go into this number two preseason game hosting the Lions on Saturday?
My primary thoughts are, don't be the person who overreacts to the preseason. don't do that. It's not a good plan. We look for different things every year. I think this is always funny. Every year Colts fans overreact to receivers standing out in training camp, mm-hmm. and are then surprised that they don't translate to, you know, to the preseason or to the regular season. We freak out about guys who do pop and then get cut when rosters cut downs come in favor of other things. We don't know what all's going on. We don't know how this is going to play out in the regular season. Just don't freak out about any of it. We are a team that depends heavily on Frank Reich's offense, and it's just not, don't overreact. It's just not going to do you any good to do that. There's things you can take away, and then there are some things that it's just best to just take a breath on. Enjoy it. Football is back in such a way as it is, and enjoy it. The games that matter are coming, and not worth stressing yourself out about. Just enjoy this kind of slow and weird ride ahead of the real thing. So
slow and weird. That is so accurate. there's that initial feeling of, yay, football's here. And you get 5 minutes into the game, you're like,
oh, this is not football.
This is not, I'm ready for the regular season. Yeah.
I mean, when you get excited because you see the punt god kicking, and it's just like, did I just get excited to watch someone punt the ball? Yeah, this is exactly. The preseason for sure.
100%. I think the only thing I'll add is, and probably the most important point with these preseason games is, come out healthy.
Yes.
The one thing we don't want to see is for a key player, you know, to suffer any kind of injury in the preseason. It does you no good.
I'm not even going to say the guy's name, but I almost made this my takeaway, and I just I held my breath and moved on, because I'm like, I'm not even putting that on the poor guy. I just want to see Colts players healthy, no injury, no like 17 person deep injury report for week one, please.
Oh, please. No, absolutely. So stay healthy, you know, for the team. That is the biggest takeaway, I think, from the preseason. Get all of your starters to game one. And as we mentioned, game one, September 11th, guys, less than a month away. Just a few weeks. We've got two more preseason games. The next one, again, at Lucas Oil Stadium, the Colts hosting the Lions Saturday, August 20th, 1 p.m. We'll be back here on the podcast to recap that, give some thoughts on it. And Chris, hopefully we'll have you back to get us into the regular season as the Colts go to face the Texans September 11th, 1 p.m. game. Cannot wait for it. Chris, remind our listeners where they can find you and what you've got going on.
Yeah, you can check me out posting snarky gifs on Twitter at Chris Blystone, and I'm occasionally going to drop in and jump into Stampede Blue and be posting some content every once in a while through the season. Otherwise, I don't have a whole lot going on, so happy to engage on social media, though, with people who don't want to, I don't know, be jerks. If you're a jerk, I'll just spam you with office gifts, and so that's how you'll know that I'm annoyed with you. If I'm not responding in anything but annoying gifts, you're probably on my nerves.
I'm gonna keep that in mind.
It's not always hostile, but if it starts to feel passive aggressive, it's definitely passive aggressive.
You heard it here first, folks. Watch your Twitter interactions. All right, guys, as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at NFLDW, and of course, our articles daily at StampedeBlue.com. This is David Walker for Chris Blystone. Thank you guys for listening in, and we'll talk with you next time.